Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We have a special guest today, a little bit different kind of show. Brian Turner is here, and Brian is going to be talking to us about how to protect yourself if you get sued. We're going to hit some other topics, too. Now, Brian is an expert in this area. We're going to be talking about how to protect your mortgage, things along those lines. So, Brian Turner is my guest. We're going to be with him right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, send me some email. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Send me some mail. Okay, we're going to pick up our interview in progress with Brian Turner.
After about 15 years of doing legal research, talking to a lot of lawyers, I decided it's time that someone write a book about how to protect against lawsuits. I learned that most people just are clueless about it. Mm-hmm. And so I have nearly a 500-page book that I put together. It took 3 years to write and a year to copy edit. Called How to Kill a Lawsuit. And as I said earlier, it's probably the only book on the marketplace that discusses specifically lawsuit protection. You know, there's no school in this country that offers any course of study involving lawsuit protection. With nearly 20 million lawsuits filed every year, no one is teaching the public how to protect themselves against lawsuits. It's virtually unbelievable.
Brian, isn't it true that anyone can sue anyone for anything, right? I mean, it doesn't take much to sue somebody, does it?
No, in this country, that's absolutely correct. Anybody could file a lawsuit against anyone else. And there are a large number of frivolous lawsuits. In part, I think that's because we're the only country in the world that has a contingency fee basis for legal fees. There's no other country in the world that allows lawyers to accept cases on a contingency fee. Now, I've had a number of people, I do a lot of speaking. Yes? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just saying it's interesting. Continue.
Yes, you know, I do a lot of speaking presentations. I go to like Kiwanis clubs and Rotary clubs, and people say, well, you know what, there are a lot of poor people that could not afford a lawyer, and so the contingency fee is really a great system. And what I remark is that there's pros and cons. The thing that really baffles me is that if the contingency fee system is such a great system, why aren't other countries following suit? Look at Europe. Look at England, Germany. You know, you got some sharp people over there. There's some smart people. How come they have not adopted the contingency fee system? Why is it that we're the only country, America's the only country that has it? Is it maybe the other countries are right and we're wrong, or are we right and they're wrong? You know, if it was such a great system, I would think other countries would have it. We don't. And one of the big problems with the contingency fee system is that you get, as a byproduct, you get a lot of frivolous lawsuits that are filed. And law firms that are like mills, some of these large law firms that do personal injury cases, they will take borderline cases because they know that statistically most lawsuits settle. In the federal system, did you know 99% of all lawsuits, civil lawsuits in the federal judiciary settle? And in the state system, at least in California, it's 85% to 90%. So, you know, if you're a business person and you've got a law firm, it kind of makes sense to almost, you know, to take some of these frivolous cases, knowing that, hey, the chances are 9 out of 10 it's going to settle.
Let me play devil's advocate for just a moment. Let's assume someone in one of these places that doesn't have contingencies, that someone is injured by a product and they don't have the money for an attorney. How would they, say they're physically injured and hurt? How would they go about getting their medical bills handled and that sort of thing? I mean, I'm having a little bit of problem with the contingency thing that you're talking about in these other countries. To explain that to me.
Well, with other countries, if you're injured, you probably want to go to your insurance company, and they would probably be able to get a lawsuit filed on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. There may be instances where you could pay the attorney a small amount of money rather than a contingency fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically you almost give them an IOU. So when the case does settle, you can just pay the balance.
Okay.
But the amazing thing is that all these other countries do not have a contingency fee system. Mm-hmm. And yet, people seem to do just fine without it.
Gotcha.
So I'm kind of scratching my head, why is it that we have to have it?
Gotcha.
And if we get rid of it, people ask, how can we resolve this problem? Can you imagine 20 million newly filed lawsuits every year? We're in the midst, Rodney, of a very serious lawsuit epidemic. According to The Economist magazine, one in four Americans sometime during their lifetimes will be hit with a catastrophic lawsuit which will wipe them out.
Okay. I saw that statistic, and I was going to ask you about that. So your book tells people how to defend themselves should they be hit with some kind of suit like that, correct?
Yes. Well, it's a lawsuit protection book.
Mm-hmm.
Since you can't find any of this information in any of our schools. And the public's really at a loss that they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically have developed a simple plan for maximum lawsuit protection. And what
okay.
you need to do is you need to prepare in advance of a possible lawsuit coming down the pike. I use a nice analogy. I talk when I go to speaking presentations, I use the analogy of the flu.
Okay.
People say, how does the flu relate to lawsuits? Well, let me explain. First of all, the Centers for Disease Control states that in any one year, 5 to 20% of the U.S. population will come down with the flu. That's 15 million to 60 million people.
Right.
Okay. Now, since we have 20 million people getting hit with new lawsuits every year, I think that by definition, that qualifies as an epidemic. And it's
yes.
all over the United States. It just isn't localized to any one state. And it's been ongoing for 20 to 30 years now. We've been hovering anywhere between 15 to 20 million newly filed lawsuits every year. Now, the amazing thing is, let's go back to the flu one. If we have a flu outbreak in the wintertime that's coming down in just a few more months, every day there's a news story about the flu. And there's always a nurse or a doctor that gets on the program, and they tell the public what they need to do to protect themselves. Hey, get a flu shot. Wash your hands before you eat. Well, every day, if you're like me, you probably read a news story about a lawsuit. Someone's getting sued here, someone's getting sued there. Every day, there's a news story about lawsuits. But yet, I never see anything or hear anything about what the public needs to do to protect themselves. Isn't it amazing? One commentator on a television program that I was on thinks there's a massive conspiracy. He thinks the legal establishment is purposely suppressing this information. They don't want the public to know how to protect themselves. Could be a massive cover-up. I don't know. But isn't it kind of amazing? How come none of these news stories helps the public what they need to do to protect themselves against the lawsuit? Why is that? That's a real mystery.
Yeah.
And so I'm on a crusade. I would like to see this information in all of our high schools. My goal, 10, 20 years down the road, is that every high school requires, prior to graduation, a civics course. And part of the civics course is how to protect yourself against lawsuits. useful information that every high school student should know before they enter the workforce.
Brian, give me an example of what would be, you know, just the average Joe citizen, a common suit that is filed against the average Joe citizen. Can you give me a hypothetical, an example?
Well, I believe statistically the most common are probably motor vehicle accidents.
Okay.
In terms of sheer number. And you see billboards everywhere you go.
Right.
There's law firms that are soliciting business. Hey, if you're injured, just call our law firm, the King Law Firm, and dial 800. So, you know, and they give you the following numbers, and it's right. Free, basically. We don't charge you anything unless we win your case.
Right.
There's no fee. And so I think statistically, that's probably the most common lawsuit that the average person, the average citizen is in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, there are all sorts of others that follow. Business interference. There are a lot of business lawsuits, contract lawsuits. People get into contracts all the time, and someone gets sued for a breach of contract. That's real big. Sometimes libel and defamation. That's more okay. Common now with the Internet now. People are saying, you know, slanderous things about others, and so they could be inviting a defamation lawsuit.
Yeah, I've learned if I could just interrupt for a second, I've learned doing this show that, you know, there's a First Amendment right, and then you still got to be careful with that, you know. So, yeah, I get what you're saying there. Brian, we're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, more with Brian Turner. He's got a cool book. It's called How to Kill a Lawsuit. More with Brian right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. Do you know anybody that would benefit from The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers? If you do, please tell them about it. The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers is a program that's designed to help people with their reentry. And nobody is ever going to ask you for money here. This is not about money. This is, as a matter of fact, we lose money, believe me. This is about helping people with their reentry after incarceration. So friends, family, loved ones, and formerly incarcerated, this show is for you. And so pass the word along, okay? Welcome back. We're talking with Brian Turner today. He's got a book called How to Kill a Lawsuit. He's got some cool information here. Brian, I wanted to add, there's some other areas that you address in your book. For example, how to avoid a foreclosure, for example. Could you give us a little information about that? Tell us about how to avoid a foreclosure. It seems to be something that's very common in a lot of people's lives right now.
Yes, I do have a chapter in my book about what steps people need to take to avoid foreclosure. And without giving away all the information right. in the chapter, I think probably the most important thing to do is to contact your lender or your bank. If you're going to have difficulty making payments, or if you get a dunning letter from them saying, hey, you know, you're risking foreclosure, do not ignore that. That's the worst thing anyone can do, is to ignore any of those warning letters. The best thing to do is really to go down and meet with your banker or the lending institute. And it's always helpful, I think, rather than doing it on the phone, to meet person to person.
Good idea.
And look them into the eye and just say, hey, look, you know, I got a problem, but, you know, I'm an honorable person. I'm going to be working with you. Can we kind of rework the loan a little bit? Or, you know, and more often than not, they're going to help. So my strongest advice, do not ignore any problem with your lending institution or the bank. Please, you know, contact them before it gets any worse. Situation, and the chances are you're going to be probably surprised. You're going to see they're going to bend over backwards. So that's the best advice I can give.
Good, and we don't want you to give your book away, but we thank you for the little tidbits there.
Yes.
And what about small businesses? A lot of people that listen to the show have maybe a one man or business, or maybe you know, a couple of employees. Being an LLC is important, isn't it?
Well, yes. First of all, I encourage people not to operate any business as a sole proprietorship.
Okay.
Sole proprietorships are extremely dangerous.
Okay.
We have there is no protection against your personal assets. And it really, it's dangerous. The bottom line, it's dangerous. In my book, I basically I really vilify sole proprietorships. I almost think they should be outlawed, if you ask me. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to happen. I think it's really important to get some limited liability, and there's basically a couple ways you can do that. One is a corporation. A properly structured corporation will give the owner or owners of the business limited liability, which is extremely important. A limited liability company also does the same. They're both very popular.
Mm-hmm.
My preference is to use a corporation rather than an LLC, for the simple reason that corporations have been around literally for hundreds of years, and there's a lot of case law that backs corporations.
Okay.
So you really know where the law stands. Your LLCs are the newcomer on the block.
Okay.
And case law is evolving. And especially one-member LLCs can be very dangerous, too. So, you know, that's just my personal preference. Some people say LLCs are good for smaller businesses.
Okay.
I can't argue much against that.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of areas that you address. For example, protecting your assets during a divorce is another area that you address.
Yes, yeah, that's yes. There's information about that. There are 9 states in America that have community property laws. Those aren't very good when it comes to judgment creditors. Mm-hmm. Community property assets can be seized. Satisfy judgment. So I don't like community property.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to get around it. It's called a transmutation agreement or a postnuptial agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And legally, you could you can nullify community property and change it into separate property. And I think that's very useful.
Do you recommend that people get a prenup?
If they have assets, significant assets, I think that could be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I would tend to suggest that people get a prenuptial agreement, at least, you know, in the beginning. They can always make changes later on.
I wanted to also ask you about this offer that you make with the purchase of your book of a $10,000, I guess it's a legal insurance policy. Am I reading that right? Can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a protection plan. I have that information fully detailed on my website at howtokillalawsuit.com. Uh-huh. The book is rather unique in that it comes with a gift. There are not too many books out there that I'm familiar with that it comes with a gift. But this is backed by my publisher, Tate Publishing. There's a $10,000 protection plan. It's actually doubled on my website.
I see that. It's doubled.
When people protect their assets, they usually have to make some changes. Transmutation agreement, as I alluded to earlier, would be one way to separate community property into the separate property of the spouses. But my protection plan, whether it's $10,000, Amazon would have $10,000, it's $20,000 on my website, would basically protect the purchaser of the book against a lawsuit that involves to transfer their property after the statute of limitations expires. So it's a little bit of, it's sort of peace of mind for the reader. And it's a nice gesture that other books, asset protection books, don't offer. Mm-hmm. Again, my website has a section on specifically on that protection plan, and it's fully detailed and explains everything there. And that's probably the best thing that your audience can do: go to my website,
okay,
and they can read that protection plan.
Okay,
but yeah, that's not a gimmick; it's for real. It comes
cool.
part of the book.
What would, along those same lines, I noticed that my wife's company offers like legal insurance, I believe the way it works is you pay a premium and then you get a discounted rate should you have to work with an attorney. What would be, is that worth it? Is that something you would recommend people do? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, with some of the protection plans out there, the legal protection plans, lawyers would help draft some documents, fill in the blanks. As you said, there are some plans where you would get a discounted rate. I'm not that familiar with those plans.
Okay.
I think, generally, if you're involved, if you have a civil situation where you're being sued, you certainly want a good lawyer to represent you, because I've seen a lot of incompetent lawyers out there, and so I'm not so sure that you're getting really good quality lawyers with those plans.
Uh-huh.
You could be sacrificing competency for a reduced price, and in the end, I don't think that's helpful. I think the number one goal is to get a good competent lawyer, and unfortunately that takes a lot of money, but at the end of the day, that's really what counts, because
okay,
it's the results that count. So I would stay clear of those. I don't have that personally,
uh-huh,
that type of legal plan, but I know some companies offer it.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's just a nice gesture to show their employees that they're looking out for them.
What about taking it even a step further, there's a lot of people I know that work for school districts, and the school districts have, like federations or unions down south here. They have federations. Joining that for the sole purpose of legal protection, is that worth it?
Well, in some school districts that have unions, I think it's almost mandatory to be a part of the union. But I do know that the unions do have good lawyers that back the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that could be helpful, because they're very powerful.
Yeah.
The school unions are very powerful, yeah, and they have some good lawyers. And I think if a teacher gets involved in a legal situation, that in the end could really be helpful.
Okay.
Having a good lawyer. Yeah, so that I think might be worthwhile.
I know that goes a little bit beyond the scope of your book, but you do cover a lot of things in the book. It looks like an excellent resource for people to me. You mentioned Amazon, and you mentioned your website. Are those the places that we go to get that book? And could you repeat the website for us?
Yes. My website is howtokillalawsuit.com, www.howtokillalawsuit.com. That's probably the best place to go to get information about the book and to purchase the book. You can also get it on Amazon, and you can get it on Barnes & Noble, and there are a number of other places, third-party bookstores that carry the book.
Okay, good deal. Brian, it was a joy having you here today. Brian Turner, the book is called How to Kill a Lawsuit. Thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Rodney.
No problem. So we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, a little bit more right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Rodney at yahoo.com, MATHERSRODNEY at yahoo.com. Interesting show. I want to thank my special guest today, Brian Turner, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.